You're listening to an OTB AM podcast. You can watch the show or listen live every weekday morning at 7:45 AM. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream for more stuff just like this.
We do want to turn back to the heavyweight picture because Saturday night in the O2 was an unbelievable fight. Dillian Whyte beating Joseph Parker after 12 rounds. It was tiring from a spectator's point of view. I can imagine it was unbelievably tiring from a fighter's point of view. I am delighted to say that Dillian Whyte, the victor there, joins us on the line. Good morning to you, Dillian. Thanks a million for taking the call.
Hey, you guys been here?
Dillian, how you doing? It's Andy Lee.
I'm good, Andy. I'm good. How's life, man? Sounds
like we just woke you up from bed after you just... you're relaxing after your win.
I just woke up on 2 months ago, man.
Well, thank you for taking the call. How are you feeling? How's your body? How are you healing up?
I'm all right. I'm a little bit sore, you know. I had a broken hand. I've been into the fight. They're a little bit still sore, but...
You had a broken hand going into the fight?
Yeah, I broke my hand 3 weeks and then the same week I'm sparring, my rib get done as well. I was thinking,
wow.
Oh my God, there's no way I'm getting to this fight.
Was that your left or right hand?
I broke my left hand. I broke the last two little knuckles on my left hand.
And it's funny because that was the punch that you had most of your success with when you were catching.
Yeah,
I was seeing that you were catching.
My left hook is one of my best punches, you know, but the first, as soon as I hit with the first jab in the fight, I feel the gloves start filling up. The space in the glove just went straight away, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Dillian, just hang on one moment. We're just going to improve the line there a little bit. It's just a little bit hard to make out through that line. So we'll get back to that in just a moment. That's incredible. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it makes the win even more. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, was that said before the fight? I don't recall.
So, no.
Like, that's incredible. So... It was the left, and that's the hand he used to knock him down twice.
Yeah.
Well, the first one, it wasn't really a knockdown as such. It was more of a collision. But that's one hell of a situation. Dillian, yeah, you've come back with us. We were just talking about that injury you had sustained going into the fight. Like, that's incredible. Like, that must have been some job trying to keep that a secret and to not let your opponent in the ring actually find out about that before the bout.
I know, but you know what's funny? I was in there, he hit me the body shot, and the first round, I think it was left hook to the body, at the same spot where the ribs fractured, and I thought, oh my God, here we go. Mm. Let's just get into a war. There's no trying to box this guy. Every time he hits me and it hurts, I'm going to hit him back as hard as I can and try to hurt him as much as I can.
Dillian, it was the last round was one of the best rounds of boxing I've seen in a long, long time. How did you get through it?
You know what? I thought to myself, so much ups and downs in life. This is my moment, and I'm not going to let Parker steal this moment from me. And I just thought to myself, last time I was in this position, I carried on slugging and I got stopped. I thought, you know what, Dill? Slug a little bit till you get a little bit of time where you can take a clean knee. Because what I didn't want to do is try and hold him and get tight, but I was trying to hold him. I made it look like I was trying to fight back, and I took the knee. Then I got up and I thought, listen, I'm holding onto these ropes. I don't care if the referee take 1 point away because I know I'm rounds ahead anyway.
Yeah. It's a great win. And it puts you as the main challenger for the world title now. Sure, you must feel like it's long overdue.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We've been fighting eliminator after eliminator after eliminator after eliminator. But you know what? I don't complain. I just keep cracking on and just keep going on. You know.
You didn't feel frustrated after the Lucas Brown fight that the title didn't come. The title fight didn't come then.
Yeah, well, I was very, very frustrated. But then after, I just thought, you know what? I don't really care. I'm just gonna keep having big fights and keep giving the fans big fights because the last two fights I've had, they should have been world title fights. You know, and. But the good thing is the fans have still come out to support me, whether they're world title fights or not. So I just focus on just having big fights, making as much money as I can and entertaining the fans as much as I can, you know. Mm. The funny thing is I was trying to fight Joseph Parker 2 years ago and he was world champion. Yeah. And he didn't want to fight me. And then now all of a sudden he lost his world title and wanted to fight me, you know.
Well, I think that really translates, and that's why you've become such a popular fighter. You've sold out the O2 now twice in a row. It's it's no small feat, and it reflects that you're just willing to fight anybody. Who do you want to fight next? That you're willing to fight anybody, but is there somebody who you want to take on?
You know what? I'd like to fight Joshua, but he's tied up. And that's the fact why, but I don't know why they're doing. But there's a fella out there called Manuel Charles that would be a regular world title. I think he's the guy that I'll try and talk. If he's realistic and he wants to lose his title and make some money, then I would like to get the fight on.
Well, I think you deserve, like, I think Eddie Hearn needs to do everything he can to get that fight, because you've earned it and you deserve it. What do you make of Tyson Fury saying that he's in talks with Wilder?
Tyson Fury, listen, you know, he's got Irish blood, same as I do. You know, I got a lot of respect for him and what he does, and I always support my own kind. But I just think Tyson Fury is a bit deluded. I think the Andrew Wilder will kill Tyson Fury right now. I think Tyson Fury, he's about 5-6 fights. You know what it's like, Andy. You've been a fighter. When you've been out of the ring for that long and not had all the problems he's had, you can't come into those big fights straight away after two fights back. No chance. You know, I think Tyson Fury likes to duck a lot and he likes to try and steal the show and stuff, but I think he's not realistic. Fighting Deontay Wilder, unless he's thinking, you know what, I'm going to make 10 million quid and gamble my career and call it a day. That's the only reason I can see, because right now, Deontay Wilder is too sharp for him right now. Not that Tyson Fury couldn't beat him, but Tyson Fury needs to get his rhythm, his mindset and his ring fitness back.
Dillian, to what extent do you feel that Saturday's victory will change the public perception of you? Because, I don't know, I felt that you were a little bit underrated. I think the whole world has woken up to what you can do after Saturday. Again, another sellout, great pay-per-view figures. And ultimately, it's getting revenge against Anthony Joshua, which a lot of people view is your natural next step. Or maybe not the next step, but maybe in two or three fights' time.
You know, a lot of people know what I can do. But I just show the people that, you know, I can box, I can fight, and I refuse to lose. So, you know, boxing people sort of know what I'm capable of and what I can do, but it just the general public now seeing it twice in a row. I've gone up against guys I should have lost against, and guys who should have beaten me, and I've dealt with them in different manner. You know, so people is now finally opening eyes and seeing that Anthony Joshua is not the only man in the UK. You know, there's a guy called Dillian Whyte out there as well.
Yeah, like, it's also seen that you've learned and you've evolved as a fighter and you've grown as a man since that Anthony Joshua defeat. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, that was the best thing to happen to me, to be honest, because I was a six-round puncher. I was a 5-6-round puncher coming through, knocking guys out, and I was living in London, training at home, enjoying the life, you know, living, you know, the local, one of the local hard boys, whatever, you know, And then I went up against someone who was doing it properly and who had the right backings and everything behind him, and I came up short. And then that taught me, listen, if you want to be what you say you're going to be, you need to get away from London, train properly, take this thing serious, because it's not a joke.
Mm-hmm. After that fight, you moved to Mark Tibbs and the Tibbs gym.
Yeah.
What kind of impact or what role has he played in your evolution?
You know, Mark's good. You know, he's not one of... So I've been over training for just to change my style, just to make me this, just to make me that. Mark's just trying to improve what I do. I'm trying to get me slipping and rolling a lot more. I'm trying to get me to use my jab a lot more and get inside and work the body, you know, with twos and threes. Like he says, he's going to slip, trip, rip him and rough him up and let the hands go on the inside. And he's a funny guy. I'm only taking the nick out of him because of the way he speaks. But, you know... You know, he's a great guy, great trainer, great insight, you know what I mean? And he's been around the big fights. You know, his dad's trained a lot of top fighters, and he's helped his dad train them over the years, you know? And he was a good little fighter himself as well.
Because, like, there is one thing working with a great trainer, but then there's also, it's also another thing being a professional boxer and being able to grow and learn like that and showing an eagerness to learn. Like, when you teamed up with Tibbs, did you feel this is a great opportunity for me? And I guess you kind of parked a lot of the things that you thought you already knew to try and learn a little bit more and to be more like a sponge when you were working with Tibbs.
Yeah, you know what it is. Andy will tell you. You have to have a certain connection with the trainer. And if you ever feel that trainer is giving you a certain amount of time and that trainer is willing to invest time and effort into you and teaching you. And from the first day I met Mark, I felt that, you know, I felt that straight away. Me and him, we never had an argument really. We get on, you know, and you know, he just tried to improve what I have and tried to add little bits to it, not try and change it, you know. And it's just great when you find that sort of guy. That's like even, you know, I keep using Andy because obviously he's done a lot of things in his career. When he moved to Adam Booth, you know, he changed his style a lot because Adam Booth gave him that confidence and gave him that that landscape to learn from, you know. And it's the same thing with me and Mark, you know.
There's also kind of the element from your career, like coming from a kickboxing background to a mixed martial arts background to a boxing background, that naturally going from different disciplines, you've had to evolve. So when that defeat to Anthony Joshua happens, you were already used to the process of evolution, and that helps you grow as well as a fighter, I'd imagine.
Yeah. You know, I'm quite a versatile guy. You know, I just try my best to just try and pick up as much as I can, learn as much as I can, and just try and just keep improving myself as much as I can as a fighter and as a human being, you know, because it goes hand in hand. You can't just become a good fighter unless you become a good human being as well, in and outside the ring. It all helps you inside the ring, you know.
Like that road as a human being as well is really important. We always hear boxers talk about it, and you've had like a tough background, like you were speaking about it last week in an interview with Gareth A. Davies. Like, I'm sure you kind of dwell on those experiences, or not dwell on them, you kind of call on those experiences when you're in a situation like you were with Parker at the weekend, where it is pure survival in the 12th round.
Yeah, you know, listen, everything you go through in life helps you. It's up to you whether you want to make them break you or help you. And I choose to make the situation I go through in life help me to get to where I am and become a better person. And when times get hard, I always look back at my situation, what I've been through to get to where I've got to. And, you know, and another thing is, I was with my mother and stuff like that, and said, definitely help, you know what I mean? Because I know the sacrifice she made leaving me as a child to come to the UK to try to make life better, you know? Like, you know, my mom told me she used to cry every day, walk along the street and cry because she left her baby at home, but she never had any chance. So, you know, all those things echo in the back of my mind when the going get tough, and I thought to myself, you know what? Win this fight, I can change minds and my mother's life forever. And I just thought to myself, you know what, you've had the roll of dice before, Parker, and you choose not to take choose not to make a sacrifice that you need to win. You ain't going to beat me today, my friend. No chance.
Yeah, that's a pretty powerful experience to call on, Dillian. It's probably more powerful than your opponent has.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's had his own upbringings. I don't know how powerful his experience has been, and how hard they've been, but I know how hard mine has been. I know how much I've suffered, and you know, I just want to make my mother proud and stuff like that, you know. So whatever I can do to do that, you know. I know she's already proud of me because I changed my life around, you know. I'm in a different environment, you know. I'm not a certain way anymore, and I got a positive outlook in life. I'm doing things, but I just want to be me enough to change her life forever, you know. Make her go live somewhere in a nice beach somewhere and enjoy the rest of her days.
What's next for Dillian White? Like, where do you see yourself in 12 months' time?
To be world champion, definitely to be world champion, you know, definitely to be world champion, you know. So now we just have to put the wheels in motion and try and see how we can stretch it and bring the world title home.
Dillian, thank you for joining us. Listen, you've certainly made your mother proud with that victory and what you've continued to do, and long may it continue. We'll be watching and we'll be supporting you, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
So, if you like this, you'll probably also like OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream or catch the show live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook or offtheball.com every morning from 7:45 AM.